Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Luke in the 13th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time, the Gospel of Luke in the 13th chapter. Good to have some visiting with us, and if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. We'd encourage you to get your Bible and study along. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be immersed for remission of sins. If you have your Bible in the book of Luke in the 13th chapter, if you will begin reading with me at verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I believe that in the life of every one of us, there comes a time we ask the question, why? And at this time, you'll find the disciples come to Jesus with a great disconcern. If you take your Bible back in the book of Luke and the 13th chapter, you'll notice they had in mind that certain things happened on earth, and they thought it might have been a form of punishment. They thought that perhaps that God had done this to punish people for their sins. Now, we need to stop and think about, in just a moment of time, did God do that to punish people for their sins? Did God allow the people who were making sacrifices in verse 1, the Galileans, and Pilate came and mingled their blood with the sacrifices they were making? Were they worse sinners than others? And Jesus answers the question. Jesus says in verse 3, "I tell you no." Now, I want us to stop and think about for just a moment that God, in His power and in His holiness of justice, never wants man to sin. And every sin is against the will of God. However, God may use man's rebellion to accomplish His purposes, but the sin still breaks his heart. But punishment will come in the judgment day when one must give an account for the deeds done in the body. This we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 when it said we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our deeds, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Now, it is true that there are some consequences for our sins here on earth. For example, if I murder someone, I may have to do prison time. However, so often when some tragedy strikes, we blame God for something God ought not to be blamed for. So Jesus asked the question, why did the Jews suffer and why were they killed by Pilate's soldiers? And notice that Jesus asked the disciples who came to him, was it because they were greater sinners than others? And the Jews thought, yes, that's exactly what they thought. The Jews were very superstitious. And they thought that if something bad happened, it was because you violated the law of God. And notice that Jesus answers their question with an astounding no. Jesus said in verse 3, "I tell you no." They may have thought in verse 2 that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered something. But Jesus answers him in verse 3 and he says, "I tell you, that's not the reason they suffered." But then notice Jesus goes on to answer something else. "But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I want us to look at that and notice that Jesus takes it a step further. Jesus said, if you do not repent of your sins, something worse will happen to you that you will suffer. Well, what is Jesus talking about? He is talking about one dying in an undone, unprepared condition. He's talking about one dying in a lost state. We read in Bible class this morning from the Ephesian letter and the second chapter and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul said, "You were dead in your sins and trespasses, but God made you alive." Now I want you to stop and think about the individual who's spiritually dead. He is the individual that may be alive physically, but if he dies in the state of being separated from God, he will be put cast away from God for eternity. Eternal separation. Forever separated from the presence of God. And Jesus states that if one does not make their life right, real punishment will be in the life hereafter. So did this tragedy occur because they were worse than all other sinners? Jesus says no. Then Jesus says and states that one will suffer justly in hellfire if one dies in a sinful state. In Isaiah 59:2, remember that Isaiah said, "Your sins and iniquities have separated you from God." So then Jesus gives another example in verse 4. Jesus asked about the tower accident that occurred. And Jesus asked, did the people that died in that event, that 19 people, were they being punished for sin? And notice he answers them again, no. I want you to know that he says, no, that is not what occurred. You know, God allows the laws of his universe that he has set in motion to take effect. Accidents happen, tragedies happen, some great things that we look at that are terrible happen. And I want us to understand the reason. We live in a fallen world due to the curse of sin. Because there's sin in the world, we live in a world that is cursed by sin. However, that is not directly a result of personal sin. A baby's born with a disease. Has that baby sinned? No. Did the parents sin to cause the disease? No. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment, but I want you to think about these 19 that died. These 19 which were there at Siloam, were they being punished by God? No. Was there one that was ungodly and so 18 others suffered with him? No. Jesus is warning that events happen and God allows such and he's not obligated to stop any of it. Many times what happens in life is a tragedy occurs in our life and we say, why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God keep it from happening? He has the power to stop it. Well, my friend, he's not obligated to. And this does not mean it's his will. Evil actions of others happen. 9/11, when wicked men flew planes into buildings, that went against the will of God. God is against murder. And people say, well, why didn't God stop it? Because God allows man to be a free moral agent and the actions of others can hurt other people. And sometimes we ask, well, why doesn't God stop it? But you remember that Jesus here is concerned about the big picture, not about our personal tragedies here. He's talking about life after the grave. Jesus is more concerned about the hereafter than he is the here and now. And Jesus warns the people that if they're not right with God, no matter the tragedy here, something worse awaits those in the judgment who ignore God, who do not heed God's call. And it's not God's will that one person go to hell. In 2 Peter 3:9, you remember it says that God is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if one goes to hell, they're going against the will of God. It's because of their free will. They spurned God and they determined that they're going to live their life their way and they're going to be punished for that. But accidents and tragedies that occur here are always not a result of personal sin. And I would that we would understand that. But that brings up another thought. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 9th chapter. In the book of John in the 9th chapter, notice with me, if you will, that Jesus sees a man who was born blind. And he was born in that condition. And I'm sure his parents said, why? Why was my child? Why was my son? why was he born with a blindness? In that day and time, they didn't have all the things we have. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have disability. That he wouldn't have everything he would need. This man would spend his life begging, and his livelihood would be determined by others. And notice the question the disciples asked in verse 2. They asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Do you see their superstition? And there's a lot of people like that today. I have people come to me and they'll say, "My loved one died because of something I did." "What did you do?" "Well, I went out and I got drunk, and so God's punishing me." Well, my friend, that's not how God operates. And sometimes what we do is we want to blame God for something God ought not to be blamed for. And if you look at the disciples' question in verses 2 and 3, who sinned? In other words, this is a result of sin, whether it be his or his parents. And we've already established the fact that Jesus declared that the man whose blood Pilate mingled with the sacrifice and the individuals killed at the Tower of Siloam were not sinners exceeding others. It is true that accidents happen. Bad things happen to good people, and bad people do bad things, and we feel the pain of such. Now, Jesus explains that because one is blind is not the fault of God. It's the result of living in a sin-cursed world. When man sinned, God not only cursed man and woman, what else did he curse? The world. And thus, we live in a sin-filled world where bad things happen. Now, Jesus wants us to understand and explains that because one is blind is not the fault of God. God in the Bible struck some people blind, but that is not what we find happening today. God could still do that if he desired. But tragedies as such are not God's fault. God allows the universe he designed, he created to work. And since man sinned originally in the Garden of Eden, there is sickness. There is disease. And I got bad news for you this morning. There's death. And everyone in here will die one day because we're sinners and because that is a part of living in a sin-fallen world. Even babies who have no sin sometimes die. They didn't die because of their sin, because they have no sin. But they died because we lived in a sin-cursed world. And I want us to understand, there are diseases, there are handicaps, there are problems. But that does not mean it's the will of God. It's not God's will, but neither was sin. And there are some things that happen contrary to God's will, and God allows them because he never forces his will on man in this life. He gives man the choice if he will come to God. This is God giving man the choice if he will love God. Now, someone may say, "Well, why doesn't he stop it? Why doesn't he prohibit sin? Why doesn't he stop sin?" I'll tell you why, my friend, because he didn't cause it. Man sinned by his own decision. And there is suffering due to man's sin. Man caused suffering when he chose to go against God's will. And can you imagine if God just ignored sin and allowed wicked men to continue on? How this world would be? One generation, wicked generation, stacked upon another. With all the ungodliness and impurity and decadence one can imagine. God warned Adam and Eve, "You sin, you die." That spiritual separation when they sinned. And it was also physical death as a result of being removed from the garden where they could not get to the tree of life. Eternal death is a result of being removed from God, the source of eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." So why do we suffer? That's a universal question. The answer? Because we live in a sin-fallen world. And it's not God's will nor God's desire. God has always wanted man to follow His will. But the result of living in a sin-fallen world, sometimes bad things happen to good people. I was at a funeral yesterday, and as I was leaving, I got a call from a man in Atlanta, Georgia. And he asked me if I would do his father's funeral in Nashville. He said his father's day to day. And as he was talking to me, he started to cry. He said, I'd planned to go with my wife up to see my father. We were supposed to leave tomorrow. He said, but when I got home today, I found my wife dead. And he said, I've got to get her buried. Can you take care of my father? Why do bad things happen to good people? But then we stop and we think. We wouldn't want to go to heaven if life here was so great, would we? I think in our prosperity and in the times of joy, we forget what we're truly living for. And that is God and to be with God. In Revelation chapter 21, I recognize I can't avoid tragedy in my life. I can't avoid problems in my life. I've got a son who's got a sickness that keeps me up at night. Many of you have had sicknesses and illnesses. And I think about what's it going to be in this world. And I finally have come to learn. I don't know how this life will turn out for me. I don't know how long I live. This may be the last sermon I ever preach. And this may be the last sermon you ever hear. But I hope I preached it in such a way that your blood's not on my hand in the judgment. Because what I desire is for what he says in Revelation 21. Look at verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Stop for just a moment. Can you imagine how beautiful that is? I don't know how many weddings I've done. I've done tons of them. And I don't mind doing weddings. I hate wedding rehearsals, but I don't mind doing weddings. But you know what I've yet to see? I've yet to see an ugly bride. Now, that could be because they're veiled, but I've yet to see an ugly bride. Every one of them looks beautiful when they come down that aisle. I've seen some grooms that could use them working over, but I've never seen an ugly bride. And can you remember the day you were married, looking back at your bride? Wasn't she the most beautiful thing? And here he says, I saw this city prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. He said, God is going to be in their midst. As long as I'm on this earth, God is with me, but this time it's going to be even where I am with God in a more intimate way. The bride and the groom, the church and Christ are united. And look at what he says in verse 4. The only truly ever happy story there is. Not some fairy tale. But look at what he says. When we get to heaven, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Imagine the finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments. The finger of God that stooped down and wrote in John 8. Will be able to look at your face and wipe away your tears. And he said, then there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I may not ever know why certain things happen on this earth. But I do know one thing. They won't happen in heaven. And that makes me long to go there. Where you don't get the call in the middle of the night. So-and-so was in an accident. where you don't get the call that so-and-so has stage 4 cancer. My aunt called me the other day and asked me to come by. And I went by and saw her. She's 92. And she gave me a box full of my mother's jewelry and my grandmother's jewelry. And as I was looking through it, I started thinking about what my mother said. She said, the older you get, the less earthly things mean to you. Because all it means is you got more to dust. I've got her jewelry and I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, this is nothing compared to what she's enjoying now. Don't miss heaven. And don't blame God for the sadness here. But God will give us peace that surpasses all understanding and the hope of heaven. But don't miss heaven. If you're here and you need to be baptized, we pray you come together this day.